I liken it much more to getting ready for entering a sporting event than I do likening it to studying for a test. I guess in some ways it's an intellectual endeavor, so you know, there's reading involved. So I guess in some ways I can see where a person would see it like it's a test. But there's no obligation to memorize all this stuff. You can take all the notes you want and heck, all the important stuff.
And you get to use sticky notes. You get to use sticky notes.
Right. And really all the important stuff, like the date of the crash, the intersection, the people's names, those tend to be on crash reports. So yeah, I don't look at it. I mean, that's I need to know the crash report. I need to have some familiarity with it, but I don't have to memorize it the way I would for a test. So For one thing, I would say let's adjust our mindset and look at this as more of a, I'm about to go get in a fight. I want to win the fight, and I want to use whatever tools, tactics I have available to win that fight. And I kind of like to fight. I came up in martial arts, and this is a way that even though I'm old and have artificial parts in both of my knees, I can still continue fighting and enjoying the adrenaline rush, like Manpreet says. And if the thing is, if you're sitting here listening to the two of us going on about trial and the idea of it scares you, congratulations, you're a human being. If it didn't, it wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be exciting. Most of the things that I do for fun have an element of danger to them. And this is one of them.
And I think your analysis of saying, like, you know, you look at it as it's a fight. I look at it a little bit differently. I have this like liberal arts perspective, like sociology. I just love the idea of convincing 12 strangers or 6 strangers about my position and how I'm going to do that. And to me, that's fascinating. So my brother, he's an actor in LA. And I always think that we're not different. What he's doing there and what I'm doing here is not different. I mean, well, by the way, Brian and I are going to say this like at least 100 times in this presentation. You have to be yourself. You have to be genuine. So I don't mean to put on an act because juries know when you're full of shit. They know it. So that's not the case. It's more just being able to express yourself in an almost theatrical way to get your point across so that way they'll buy into what you're selling them. And so I find that part of it not only fascinating, because that's what we think about when we're, you know, selecting a jury during voir dire. We're saying, what type of background does that person have that I'm going to be able to appease to them for my point of view? So I look at it a little bit more from a sociological perspective of just the study of people that fascinates me, how they react to the information we get. But I guess we should back up, right, Brian? We should probably start from right when we get a case and how you and I look at it differently.
So I wanted to address that before we got into the meat of our presentation, because I've heard similar things from folks, but I've never heard anything like that from the people that relish the idea of going to trial. And I just thought it would be interesting for y'all to see the difference in mindset going in. And Manpreet has a little different perspective of how she approaches it than I do, but we're both pretty excited about getting there. So I think that's the overarching theme to take from there. All right, so I am going to look at my cheat sheet here, and it says start the process with the end in mind. I am the representing the plaintiffs. I did about 10 plus years of defense work, but I've done the second half of my career representing the people and intend to spend the rest of my career doing the same. So I'm kind of representing the plaintiff's perspective on this thing. And what I mean when I say start with the process with the end in mind is when I am interviewing a client, when they come in, and in our firm, they actually meet with the attorneys. We're not a big firm. We're a boutique. We don't have a staff of non-attorney, phone bank type people who clear clients. You know, if it's a good client, they come in, they actually visit with myself or one of the other attorneys here. And during that meeting, I'll straight up tell them, I'm writing my closing statement right now. Like I am working on the story, the theme, the ideas, the notions that are going to be going throughout this entire case, which is one of the reasons why when I get to the end, I don't feel like it's a test. I feel like when I get to the end, it's just, okay, here's what we've been building all this time. Let's go see how well it works. And so when somebody comes in and I'm asking them questions about their case, I'm asking those questions in light of what is that jury questionnaire going to look like? What questions are going to go on there? You know, how much am I going to be asking for in these different areas? What kind of a story am I going to be able to tell them so that they are thinking that these are appropriate questions to answer in the ways that I want them to answer them?
So you say that you meet your clients and you have to deal with client expectations. And I feel for you on that, because I think the TV ads and the billboards really set them pretty high. I have the opposite problem. I usually have to talk my clients off of a ledge. They're usually really upset. I mean, they feel very personally violated. They don't understand. They're enraged as to why this would happen. I mean, it's hard for them to see their name as a defendant on paperwork, right? Like, it's an attack on them personally. And so I'm usually, you know, telling them, hey, look, your job is not to worry about this case. That's my job. I've got it. And I'll call you when I need you. But for right now, just relax, sit back and enjoy the flight, because I'm enjoying it. So you should too. So from my perspective, you know, once I've calmed my client down, which is, you know, 9 out of 10 times, there's only a couple of people who just really could care less that they're being sued. Honestly, I know that there's a huge reputation for especially insurance defense attorneys to not care about whether we settle or not. There's a couple of things I want to make sure that while I'm on this subject to kind of kill the rumors a little bit. People think that in-house counsel bill, we don't bill, we're a salary employee. And so sometimes when we sit behind a computer or sit in front of a judge, it's no different for us. It's actually more work.